welcome to Aldermark. Today, we're stepping away from Duskwall and playing a newly released Forged in the Dark game, Band of Blades. The core mechanics are based on Blades in the Dark, but rather than being about criminals and scoundrels pulling off daring heists in a city, it's about the soldiers of a battered, retreating military force, fleeing across the countryside ahead of an undead horde. It's a dark military fantasy that sees players taking on multiple roles throughout the campaign. I'll admit, this is not a genre that I usually seek out. But one of my favorite things about RPGs is their ability to bring you into genres you might not have considered before, where you can tell the kinds of stories you want to hear. Kim, Minna, and I had a great time with this one. If you're into military fantasy at all, you should definitely pick this up. And even if, like me, that's not usually the kinds of stories you're interested in, it's worth giving a one-shot a try. Band of Blades has a lot of really cool playbooks, moves, and long-term campaign mechanics that set up groups to tell some really incredible stories. I want to say a special thanks to Sean Nittner for reaching out about this collaboration, and to John LaBeouf Little for GMing this one-shot. A couple content notes about this episode. One, a general content warning for the whole episode for undead, actual dead, and some body horror. Two, I left in a bit more of the mechanics than I usually do when editing in order to demonstrate how the new system works and how it differs from Blades in the Dark. And three, we played this game using Roll20, an online platform for hosting RPGs. The system worked really well. The built-in character sheets in Roll20 were especially cool. Other Magpies announcements. First and foremost, our Shapeways store with Magpies pins is now officially open. I want to say a huge thanks to James Bricknell for designing and donating the multiple 3D models that we used for the pins. Shapeways will be taking the majority cut of the prices, and any profit that we make from the sales will be donated to our monthly feature charities. Visit shapeways.com/shops/magpies-podcast to check them out, and that link will be in the show notes. Our Patreon backer drive and contest is still ongoing. I have 5 3D-printed, silver-painted magpie pins that James sent me that I will be giving away to Patreon backers when we hit 100 total backers. We're coming up on our 1-year Patreon anniversary, and we have a ton of great behind-the-scenes content available. Blooper reels, bonus episodes, in-character art, and essays. It's an awesome collection. There are also opportunities to contribute to the show by sending in Devil's Bargains and NPCs. So visit patreon.com/magpiespodcast to back us if you can. I recently did an interview with the Too Many RPGs podcast, and that interview should be live today. As soon as I have it, there will be a link in the show notes. I had a great time chatting with them about Blades in the Dark and the Magpies. Next, Kim is going to tell us about this month's featured charity.
The Rainforest Action Network's Protect an Acre program works directly with grassroots and indigenous-led organizations to prevent vulnerable ecosystems from natural disaster and deforestation efforts. Since 1993, RAN has saved millions of acres of land and has collaborated closely with the indigenous communities who protect it. They uphold the values of fair trade, promoting the dignity and human rights of rainforest communities, and fighting against corporations who seek to disproportionately consume it for resources. Right now, the Amazon rainforest in Brazil is being intentionally burnt down with the intent of creating more farmland for cattle. President Bolsonaro has time and time again proved unwilling to stop the global crisis that is at hand. Of the world's oxygen that is not produced from the ocean, 1/3 of it comes from photosynthesis occurring on land. And of that 1/3, the Amazon is responsible for nearly half. It is imperative that we begin and remain louder than ever on the side of science, the side of nature, and the side of indigenous people. To make a donation, visit www.ran.org, select support, and go to Protect an Acre. For a donation even as low as $20, your money will go directly to protecting an acre of rainforest land and to the people who are its closest defenders.
At the time of this recording, the U.S. House of Representatives has started the lengthy process of impeachment against the president, and information about the president's efforts to use a foreign government to influence our elections continues to flood the news. For U.S. citizens, it's vitally important to contact your elected officials, no matter what party they are, and tell them you expect them to take action against the corruption and cruelty of this administration. It's also important to check and double-check that you're registered to vote. This administration and their supporters in the GOP have proven that they have no regard for rule of law or democracy, and both are in jeopardy as we move ever closer to the 2020 election. So take action when and where you can. Now then, let's get started, shall we?
Let's talk about Band of Blades. This is a game about playing the Legion and members of the Legion as you're retreating across Aldermark. You have been part of the latest offensive of humanity to deal with an ever-emergent undead threat that is to the west, and your last sally has gone poor. Humanity suffered an overwhelming defeat at the hands of the undead, championed by the Cinder King, and are now attempting to regroup to the east. You're going to bunker down in Skydagger Keep and hopefully make your way home sometime after the winter has thawed. So this is a story about that group of intrepid heroes and whether or not they can make it to Skydagger Keep. Let's talk a little bit about your characters.
I can start, since this is, I don't usually get to play a character, so this is very exciting for me. So I am playing the Scout playbook. My character's name is Zaya Alekhovna. She is from the Zemyadi people, which is kind of a, based on the description, sort of roaming clans that live to the far north. Prior to joining the military, may have been a thief. And for my special ability is Infiltrator. I'm very good at getting past traps and security.
Excellent.
Thus, the might have been a thief background.
Right.
I am playing Mitali Dewa. She is the officer playbook. She is from Barta, which is kind of their republic. They really, value family alliances and kinship. They're a matrilineal society, it looks like. And a lot of contracts are sealed with tokens, which they usually have on jewelry. The special ability I chose is Tactician. You anticipate problems others would never see coming, and when you lead a group action, you can suffer at most one stress.
Excellent.
Very useful.
Listeners, I want this in regular Blades.
So I am playing the Heavy playbook, and my character's name is Arun Arani, and he is also from Barta. The special ability that I chose is Backup, which is when you protect a squad mate, resist with +1 dice, and when you assist someone, their pushes only cost 1 stress.
Excellent.
Nice.
Cool. So we're going to play through the starting mission for Zora. Zora is the chosen that is following alongside the Legion and keeping them from the worst of the undead armies. Chosen are essentially avatars of the divine forces that have been summoned by humanity to fight off sometimes supernatural, sometimes just overwhelming threats. This one, particularly, is from the living god, Zemyadi. Long ago, the Zemyadi's living god created 9 chosen altogether, all at once, which is unheard of. It's only been done that one time. Usually, each particular god incarnates once and becomes that particular chosen. Instead, the living god created 9, and Zora is one of those. The chosen of the living god don't burn out or fade away. They persist until they finish some ultimate task, but they can be killed, they sometimes are. But Zora has defied even that expectation. She was supposedly tasked to deal with a problem in a kingdom to the west called Dar. She did that. She ended the God's War. There are a bunch of things about her. We'll get more into her at some point. But she is going to be the chosen that is with the Legion. And we're going to talk about the starting situation. With the crafting of Blackshot, the undead armies had been at a standstill in the Western Kingdoms. They were too well entrenched to attack directly, but they were held at bay by smaller and better equipped forces. that changed the Battle of Etmark Fields. That was the battle that you guys just had that went poorly. Now the Legion has been shattered, and the Cinder King's troops now march east, bolstered with heretofore unseen horrors to fight humanity. Your commander, the Legion's commander, was captured holding the retreat and taken to an Aldermani mountain castle on the border of Dar. The red banners of the Cinder King were sighted entering the keep, and Zora claims a special interrogator was sent to turn the commander with his mind intact. The Legion's leaders have decided on one last-ditch rescue attempt. Castles are designed to keep people out, but there is a drainage pipe beneath the mountain that might provide a way in. Can you rescue the commander before they are turned and all Legion secrets extracted from them? Can you take them out before it's too late? Can you make it out alive? That's what we're playing to find out.
So no pressure.
No pressure.
Or anything. Like, yeah, just very chill and relaxing.
What's going to happen here is that there's this keep. It has your commander inside. You're not 100% sure where they might be. But Zora is going to assault the main gate. And this is going to take some time. And eventually she will be driven off because there's just too many undead for her to present a credible threat for too long. So there's going to be a clock that indicates how long she has left. There is also an alert clock in the upper left, and that indicates whether or not they're hip to what you're doing, right? Because you're sneaking in, trying to find your commander, maybe rescue them, maybe just take care of them. The commander, meanwhile, is being interrogated using supernatural forces, and then will at some point break and divulge all of the Legion secrets to the undead, which would be terrible. So there's a clock in the upper right to track how far that is. So this is the situation you're in. You, the three of you, and your squad of elite rookies, which we're going to say...
The A-team.
You have been assigned the, let's say the Ghost Owls. So I'm just move them to this hat. Did you want a different one? No, I could totally do a different one.
No, I like the Ghost Elves. Okay. Awesome. That was one of the names I was looking at. I'm like, I like that.
Yeah.
They go, ooh.
I could tell you a little bit more about them if you'd like, but essentially, I'll go ahead.
Yeah, so we can be more sad when they start dying.
Absolutely. Who's the officer again?
Me.
Oh, excellent. So when people start dying, I will ask you to name them.
No! Why then?
All right, so
get a name list ready, Minna.
later, this particular duty will fall to someone who takes over the marshal. But for now, since you're in charge, you are the officer. You're in charge. I don't know if that was clear. It's going to be your job to name them. Yeah. So anyway, let's talk about the Ghost Owls. The Ghost Owls, each of the squads has a slight, a little bit of history. When the Legion needs problems dealt with quickly and quietly, they send the Owls. They're traditionally stocked with Legionnaires experienced as special operatives, trained in infiltrations and extractions. A little known fact is that their squad motto is an imperative. Their squad motto is calm before the storm, to always remain calm regardless of the situation. Many Legion snipers and scouts were once Owls. Perhaps your scout was once an Owl.
Yeah. So even more reason for me to be sad.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
This seems like the perfect Legion to take with us for this particular mission.
Are you comfortable with the idea of infiltrating through the sewers?
Yes.
Yeah. We've done this. Like business shit.
This is unfortunately my go-to if you give me a keep that I can't get into.
Okay. So this is perhaps in some way comfortable ground.
Yeah, yeah. I think when you all broke into Iron Hook, you
this
went
is
into
how
the
we
sewers,
got into
right?
Iron Hook, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I think we did. Awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah, okay, cool. So let's set the scene. So there's rain and thunder, because there's always rain and thunder and outside of this, you're sneaking into the sewers of a castle, right? So rain and thunder is punctuated by the howls of undead that are above. The rainwater is exiting this drainage pipe that you're crawling up. Your chosen, Zora, is leading an assault on the main gates as a distraction. This is a stealth and speed mission, so get in, get the commander, get out. And whatever you do, don't let the undead learn the Legion's secrets. Do not fail. So, how do you proceed? You are in a sewer pipe.
Well, I imagine as the scout, I probably am ranging a little bit farther ahead of the main squad.
That sounds reasonable. So it sounds to me like you're scouting ahead.
Yes.
So let's make a roll. That's going to be Scout. You tell me, actually. I assume you're going to use Scout.
Yes.
Okay. I think that is a fairly standard. I think you're in a control position just for the moment.
All right.
With standard effect.
So it looks like I got a 5.
Yeah, so on a control position 4-5, you hesitate. Let's talk about what happens. I think it's not very far you get down the pipe before you hear the sloshing around of undead feet in the sewer pipe. You're clearly not alone here. You can't just range forward. You could continue to press on, but it will be risky.
Okay. Or I can try...
Or just come back to the group. Or you should try a different approach if you have something else in mind.
Yeah, let me look at what I've got. I think I'm going to fall back to the rest of the group and let them know. So, yeah, I will return to... I got to learn a whole bunch of new names. Mitali, and say... We should figure out how we want to proceed here. There's at least a few undead up ahead in the tunnel. We need to take them out quietly.
Yes, I agree. All right, how do I do this?
This could be done a number of ways, I see. Like, you could sneak up on them. I'm assuming you don't want to give up the element of surprise.
Yeah, absolutely
not yet, no.
Is there any... So in the sewer tunnels, is it just kind of like a smooth tunnel, or are there like nooks and crannies where people could perhaps hide, ambush?
Oh, yeah. I absolutely think that there should be some crannies that you can stuff a bunch of soldiers into. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Okie doke. Yeah, I think we should try and get in there.
Yeah, if we can like split up along both sides and then just kind of jump on them.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I've got a decent skirmish.
Cool. So you're going to lay a trap for them.
Yes.
How are you going to get their attention to draw them out?
I have a flare gun.
Oh.
I was going to say, I also have oil, so we could just light a fire.
I mean, yeah, we could do that.
I'm good with either. I think you actually have more uses of the flare gun.
Yeah, I do have 4 uses. A flare gun's not going to be super loud, right?
I think it depends on how you fire it, but let's say no.
Okay. It's just going to be a bright light.
Sure. So you set this thing. So this sounds like you're trying to, like, deceive them in some way. Like, this ambush might be some sort of... We could do it as a couple of ways. You tell me how you want to do this. Like, what action do you think this is?
Could I make an argument for wreck? Because I'm looking at the description of, it does say careful sabotage, distraction.
I will
so
say,
chaos.
You can absolutely, listen. You could totally do a wreck here. Are you trying to do a group wreck?
If this is for the whole ambush, yeah, it could be a group wreck, or it could be, I don't know what people, if people,
I'm happy to leave.
Don't have anything in, I don't, you're volunteering for that a lot. If other people have better rankings in skirmish than wreck, we could do that. I don't have anything in skirmish, but
I have
I'm
2 in skirmish.
I also have 2 in skirmish.
Let's do skirmish instead.
Okay, cool.
If we've got 2 people with 2 dice, me rolling 2d6 and taking the lower isn't going to be the worst thing.
Excellent. Okay, so you fire off the flare.
Pew!
The undead that you're engaging with are troops from the Broken. I should have talked about Broken a little bit. Let's talk about Broken. So the undead armies are championed by this one person known as the Cinder King. However, their lieutenants are the Broken, who are very analogous to Chosen. They're essentially, in fact, were once Chosen, that have been corrupted by the forces of undeath, and then turned into divinely powered monsters. The one that you seems to be presence today is Bone Render, or just Render. Also, once a chosen of the living god.
Ooh.
Yes. So, so let's talk about the troops for Render. They're the mainline troops for Render are called the Gaunt. They are humans who have been desiccated over several months, and then infused with cinder blood. Just pumped back into them. And they have bolts, like armor and plates bolted onto them. So they're actually fairly heavily armored. They move slowly, though. They are obviously dead. They are reanimated after they are, had the metal infused into them. So firing long-range shots at them, not so easy, but setting up an ambush and then attacking them with swords, so, like, that's exactly what you should be doing. So, yeah, so these shambling undead, like, you can hear almost like a clanking sound as they come towards the flare, and you see, perhaps, I would love the idea of, like, maybe it's a legionnaire who was once at Mark that is still wearing some of the outfit of a legion soldier. Ugh. Right, like, comes forward leading this pack of undead, and it is a pack, it's like five of them or so. So let's make some skirmish. Who's leading this action?
I am.
As we're doing this roll, just a quick question. Oh, what position are we in?
Oh yeah, this is definitely risky.
Okay, how smart are these undead? Like, are they, because, you know, on a scale from, like, your standard Walking Dead zombies to... Sure.
So, undead have differing levels of intelligence. So, that's a first, that's a given. More elite undead have more intelligence. Rank and file undead usually are given orders and can accomplish those orders within some broad interpretation. So, if they say, like, patrol this area, make sure nobody gets in, like, that's an order that they might get and they can follow. But they're not super clever. Like, they're not going to deduce exactly. They might have suspicions, right? But they, like, if a bunch of them go missing, they won't necessarily be reported. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I have never been so proud of a 2d6 take the lower roll.
Right?
I got 2 sixes.
Wow.
I mean, and you both got 2 fives.
Yeah.
We did very well.
As a group, you just nail it. Describe how you just take these people apart.
So, I think you shoot the flare gun and kind of run off that way, and then we're both in nooks and we wait for the undead to come along.
And then it's just one and done. Just basically super quiet, super effective.
Yeah, like the cover their mouth, like, I don't know, slitting the throat works or how you kill them, but...
Awesome. Well, however you, we don't need to dwell on the exact details, but you basically... take them apart in some way. You don't have to, like, completely dismember them, but just destroy enough of them that they stop moving around. That seems to do the trick anyway, unless you have black shot or black arrows, which are able to dispatch the energies directly. Yeah, awesome. Great job. So you're still in the sewers, but now I imagine you're trying to get up top.
Up top?
Yeah. Kim.
Thank you, Mina.
I'll go back on point.
Excellent.
I think for any of the, like, undead that do have any kind of, like, legion gear or insignias, if there's anything that I can, like, take off them as kind of like, well, here's confirmation that this poor bastard's dead.
Nice.
I'm going to collect those.
You tell me, does the legion have, like, tags or?
Oh,
maybe they have, like, labels, either like over the heart or just like sewn into their uniforms somewhere.
Yeah, I like that it's something like sewn on that you can just, like, if you need to, you can just rip it off the uniform really fast.
Nice, like a patch.
Yeah, and I think that, like, for the, like, that there's kind of a standard, like, insignia for your squad or the legion, but then people tend to, like, customize them in some way. We'll sew little, like, charms or other little symbols onto them.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a little more personalized. So yeah, we'll collect those.
That's fantastic. So Metalli, can you name a rookie for me?
No,
this isn't bad. Like, just this is just a development of the story. I just want to put a face on it.
Okay, yeah. Let's come up with a rookie real quick. Emerald Rushing Field.
Yeah. So Emerald Rushing, then, I think, looks down at this particular undead, as Zaya is pulling the patch off of their uniform, you can tell, Metalli, that, like, that Emerald Rush is, like, shaking. And they say, I knew this guy.
I think I put a hand on their shoulder.
Is this what's going to become of all of us? Or?
This is not what's going to become of all of us, recruit. This is what we're going to stop.
So now that you care about them, let's move on.
We're fucked.
Yes, this is, well, not at all a terrible thing for the GM to say.
Emotionally, we're fucked.
I'm going to file that away. That's a...
All right, so scout ahead, I guess. or however you want to do it.
I'll keep prowling forward.
Cool. I think, again, you're back into a control position. We're really just negotiating how much time this is going to take.
Oh, no. I got 2 sixes, I suppose. I was due. So that's a 2.
So this was a control position. So, like, there's only so bad it could be. So I think what's going to happen, first off, is you're going to get up from the sewers. But you're not going to be able to get out into the courtyard. You're going to be stopped first. So as you emerge from the sewers, there is this booming of fire, perhaps even the thunder of siege weapons that are raining down into the courtyard. There's various things on fire inside the courtyard. Right nearby where you are, there are large heartless, and I'm going to talk about what a heartless is, as well as a number of Black Oak Knights who are operating siege weapons of their own. So what we're going to do is we're going to make some fortune rolls and see how the battle at large is going, and we're going to see how the commander is holding up. Right, I'm going to roll that right now. So we're going to put a couple of ticks on this clock. So your commander is slowly breaking down. It's fine. You have plenty of time.
I know. Just worried about them. I'm not sighing at you. I'm sighing at life.
There is only some amount of emotional scarring that happens every tick.
I mean, isn't that what we play RPGs for?
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then we're going to roll 4 dice to see how Zora holds up. Not so well.
Ooh.
So the undead are mounting a very solid retort to Zora's flare and flash at the main gate. So this is a situation, you know, like things are happening. You see several crews of Black Oak Knights who are human. They are not undead. They're one of the few actual humans to be working with the undead. And I don't know how you all feel about that.
That's great. Thing.
Not great. that's fair. As well as Heartless, who are sometimes taken from the ranks of the knights. They are giants. They're essentially like 8-10 feet tall. They've had their heart removed. Their chests are bare. You can see a giant hole where their heart used to be, as if it was like, you know, ripped out of them. And they're plated elsewhere. They are plated in metal and they have giant weapons. Many of them seem to be moving large equipment across the courtyard to the knights who are mounting like an actual siege office.
And we don't know where the commander is,
you
right?
You don't know where the commander is. And worse yet, you are in the sewer tunnels. There's like essentially a cart right above the grate that you're supposed to be coming out of.
Oh no! So I like poke my head up and it's just like right over me.
Right. And so now it's like, oh, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's the 1-3.
Okay.
If you want to say like, I don't want that to happen, we can resist. We can do stuff like that. But I think it's a fun position.
I like this particular inconvenience.
Okay. Fair enough.
I guess I'll whisper back down the ladder to kind of explain what is happening up here. That's like, there's a big crate blocking the way. I'm guessing like we could probably like wriggle out one at a time, but it's going to be slow and
right.
It's going to be kind of obvious. Yeah.
It's going to be a little risky. It's really what it comes down to.
Heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe does Arun want to climb up here and push?
Yeah, that seems like something I'd probably do.
Excellent.
Just, you know, carve a path for all of y'all.
Yeah. So I will climb back down the ladder and get out of the way so you can clamber up.
Awesome. So tell me what you're doing here and we'll talk about what you should be rolling, if anything.
That's a really good question because I don't know.
Like if you want to just like physically just be strong and push this cart off, we might have to talk a little bit about like what's required for that, because
mm-hmm.
it's not really an action, but I do feel like that might be a role. I would probably make a fortune roll using your prowess.
Yeah, that makes sense. What did that come out to be?
So that's a 5. So I think here's what's happening. I think what you're going to do is you're going to heave really hard on this cart, essentially, and you're going to topple it to one side so that everybody can get up. And then it's essentially you're in a war zone, right? So I think you're going to all be bunkered down behind this cart as people are running from left to right. And whatever you do from there, you're going to be in a risky position. Does that sound right?
Okay. Yeah.
So I just imagine like a rune like crying out and heaving, and then this cart toppling over, and then just the pile of you coming out, and then someone looks to the officer and is like, what do we do?
Okay. Let me think out of character for a second.
Sure. Yeah, take your time.
So the situation, are there people like really near us?
There are a few people that are near you, but they haven't seemed to have noticed you yet.
Okay.
A cart tipped over in the middle of a battle. It's not super noticeable right away, but like whatever you do, if you're going to try and dart across this cart, if you want to sneak, it's probably going to be risky.
It seems there's some buildings to our right. I think we're going to try and like duck into the shadows behind and between them if we can.
Yeah, okay. That sounds fair.
So I think what Mitali says to the group at large is, all right, scatter, let's get into the shadows behind those buildings. We're to the right.
Okay. Is this a like a flat run, or are you trying to like slowly, carefully maneuver so that you, or scout rather, so that you can like not be seen?
I think it's kind of a sneaking, careful movement, not like darting.
With carefully placed barrels that are every so often so that you Nice. Okay. It sounds like you're doing some sort of group scout role.
Yeah.
I can lead. I have nothing in scout, but I can lead.
Okay, I have two in scout.
Yeah, another way to do this is if you think that this is more appropriate, you could also try saying, like, this is more about directing the people. You could use a martial role, but then it's probably better to do the scout, to be honest.
Okay.
All right. And this is risky still?
Yes.
Well, I'm only going to take one stress from that because of my ability.
And it looks like we got a 5.
Excellent. Again, on a risky, on a 4 to 5, you do it. There's a consequence. I'm going to say that someone notices the cart that's been turned over. You all file into this, what turns out to be a chapel. It looks like it was at one point a chapel. It's now been sort of torn apart by undead. There's no one in here, thankfully. But you do hear like a human voice call out in Zimyani. So if you as a character, you just tell me you understand Zimyani, all of you could.
Yeah.
Someone get that cart upright. What's going on here? Why isn't this where it's supposed to be? And I think what we're going to do is we're going to put some ticks on this alert clock.
Oh boy.
That sounds about right.
I fucked up.
I mean, technically I fucked up. Well, yeah. I guess no, we all.
It was a team effort.
As a group,
effort.
We fucked up.
Takes a village.
Yeah. I feel like before we move around too much more, because this is a big place and we could be stumbling around without direction here, we need to try to figure out where they would have taken the commander. Can I use my fine lenses?
Mm, yeah.
So this was a chapel. So is there some kind of like bell tower or steeple type thing that I could
Absolutely.
Climb up to get a high vantage point? Yeah, I'm going to...
Do you have a climbing kit?
I do.
Excellent. Then yeah, this is not even a roll.
Okay.
Yeah, so you just scramble up to the rafters and maybe look out from a higher position.
Yeah, and I want to just try to get a lay of the land. Ideally, see if I can figure out. I'm assuming that wherever they're holding the commander is probably going to be more heavily guarded.
Sure.
So I'm going to look for a place that has, like, an unusual number of stationary soldiers, given that there's, like, a battle happening. If there's a bunch of people being held back, that's probably significant.
Absolutely. So let's say, give me a gather information with Scout.
Okay. Ooh, when I gather info through clandestine observation,
that's
would
this.
That count as this?
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
So I have potency on this roll. 4.
So with potency, because you're real good at this, that's good information.
Nice.
Normally, you would expect the commander to be in this tower.
Yes.
But what you notice is that the Cinder King's banners are actually outside a different building on the ground level. This building is actually multiple stories. So, like, you enter through the ground, but there's another story above. And you're convinced that this is actually where they're holding the commander, that it's not actually in this tower.
Okay.
So that's the situation.
Yeah. So I will like rough out a map of from what I can see up here, and then I'll scramble back down and run over to.
You got a six though, so I actually think I'm gonna say one more thing, which is
okay.
You actually see an undead. You think it's undead. You're not certain. You see what is essentially a large, like larger than normal knight come out. It's like a knight. If you could think of like Game of Thrones, like the mountain, right? This is like
okay.
a huge guy, but you see none of him, right? You only see like the armor, right? It's armor from top to bottom in like this sort of onyxy kind of armor with like spikes in various places. Clearly a bad guy. And there's like a knight that's there and you can't see because you could see, but you can't hear, right? It's too far away. And the battle's going on. But the knight says something to this thing and then gets backhanded, just like hits him. And this knight flies maybe 3 feet. and you're not 100% sure whether or not they are still alive. But then the creature turns to another knight. Something is exchanged and then it goes back inside. So you don't know what's going on there, but you've seen this thing. And what I can tell you is that this is a Cinder Guard. This is one of the personal guard that the Cinder King dispatches for very specific purposes.
Like maybe interrogations?
You don't think this would do interrogations, but it might protect the interrogator.
Okay.
And just looking at it, you're like, yeah, maybe we could take one of them with all of us. That's going to be a tough tall, like a tough order.
Okay. I'll rough out a map of the sort of what I can see of the courtyard and then scramble back down.
I have a question actually really quick before you scramble down.
Mm-hmm.
Are the walls patrolled? Like around the tops of the walls?
You probably see a few patrols, but they're not anything worse than what you saw in the sewers.
How does the courtyard look in terms of...
It's a giant mess. If you're not seen by the knights or dealt with by a heartless, you might get caught with like siege fire. It's bad.
Yeah, I'll scramble back down and kind of report what I saw to Mitali.
I think you catch Mitali kind of whispering a blessing to whatever once ran this church.
Oh.
And then she turns to you.
All right, so it's not the tower. There's a smaller building on ground level. We won't have to fight our way up a hill where Cinder King's flags are flying, and there's at least one of the Cinder guards in there. So that seems like our target.
What's our best route? Quietest. We don't have enough people to fight off everyone in the courtyard.
Well, I mean, it depends. We could use the battle as cover. There's a lot of chaos out there, and we can add to it a bit, keep people from noticing us specifically, or we could go up on the roofs and around the walls.
If it's more chaos that you need, I can help out with that.
That's certainly true.
Yeah, I feel like there are patrols on the walls. There's risks either way, but what is the officer's title?
Oh, it doesn't much matter anymore, because there's only like 50 people in the Legion.
Oh, no.
But you know she insists on it.
Whatever your official rank was at the time.
Yeah, what was your rank?
I'm thinking she's Captain Dewa.
Okay, nice.
All right, so what's your orders, Captain?
Out of character, which one do we think is more fun?
Ooh, more fun.
Chaos.
I feel like the more fun option is definitely going through the cluster in the courtyard, but...
yes, this is the group that chanted Ghost Riot.
Yeah, I will point out that is not necessarily in line with our keep it quiet mission.
That's true. Our mission is kind of...
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah.
I'm personally leaning a bit towards the walls because then we can go in. We don't have to try to go through the front door.
Yeah, my thing is if we try to go through the front door, we might have to fight the Cinder Guard. And if we go in through, like, a second story window or something, if we try and go in through the roofs, that might actually put off having to fight anything. Or at least True. Anything big.
Yeah. I mean, I expect that alert clock is going to fill up in
Absolutely.
When we bust in to grab the commander. We're going to have to fight our way out, probably.
Yes, but I think we need to conserve our strength.
Yeah.
I think we need to go up to the roofs. I think that's our best bet.
All right. I'll rig up my, like, climbing gear so everybody can, like, get pulled up the ropes or whatever to get up there.
That's excellent. So I think that sounds like you're rigging something.
Yeah.
Are you any good at
it? I don't have anything in that.
Getting you up there is just a matter of, like, you rolling a scout roll or something. Like, that's fine. But if you want to rig up something for them...
Right. Arun, do you want to help me with this? Because then I only take one stress.
Sure, kiddo.
If I push myself. So I would, if I'm getting an assist and I'm pushing myself...
You get two dice.
That gets me up to two?
Yeah.
Okay. So I take one stress. What position is it?
What is the position here? I feel like if they weren't alerted to the fact that there may be somebody around here, it'd be absolutely controlled. I think there's a question in my mind of whether this is risky or not. But I have to establish what that risk might be. I think you might get sighted by somebody.
Yeah, because I imagine this is not a fast process of, like, pulling everybody up these ropes.
Right. So I think maybe it depends on, like, are you going to go slow? If you go slow, you could probably make this a control position.
I don't know. What do you two think? Should we do this slow and quiet or slow and quiet? Okay, yeah.
At least for the objective that we seem to be going for, which is get in there as quietly as possible.
All right. So yeah, we'll go slow.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you roll the rig. You're going to be in a control position with standard effect. And then I'm going to roll for how the front gate is doing.
I got a six.
Oh, wonderful. You put up exactly what you need to do.
I'm imagining it's like a pulley system where, like, Arun is at the bottom, like, working some of the ropes, and I'm doing the other ones up at top, and we just sort of lift everybody up.
Oh, yeah, that works.
Looks like you were about halfway done on the main gate. And then, perhaps even more interesting, is this. So
our poor commander.
Your poor commander. It's just the first 10 years of their lives that they're no longer going to be able to remember. It's fine.
Oh.
Wait, what?
Oh, no.
It's fine. Okay, cool. So create this the scaffolding, essentially. And I don't think we're going to need to make any rolls to see that people get up onto the roofs. You're going to get up onto the roofs. But you have these patrols that you have to deal with. So you're about here. And you see a number of undead patrols sort of here and here. You have a couple of approaches available to you. Just let me know what you want to do.
I will say that we have our heavy with us, which means we could probably make work of some small patrols.
Yeah, let's just sneak along the wall, and then we can just... We did pretty good with that group in the sewers. I think if we keep an eye on where they are, we can try and set up some ambushes again and just take them out.
Excellent. Cool. I guess give me a controlled scout roll, just to set up an ambush, maybe?
Okay. All right. Five.
I think you're able to set up the ambush just fine. That's all good. The patrol is coming along, and I believe what happens is that a Heartless comes upstairs.
No!
And then
brings,
like, another stack of undead, essentially repositions a bunch of undead. So, when abouts do you want to attack?
Yeah, I feel like we don't want to confront a Heartless at this point.
Okay.
Yeah,
that could be noisy, if nothing else.
He leaves the group that he was with there, and then he leaves. So you have about, I want to say, like, a dozen of these gaunt that are just spread throughout the area. And you've set up your ambush, so that's not really a problem. Call out individual, like, how are you approaching this?
I have been, as we've been picking our way along this wall, there's a battle going on. There's lots of little bits of gravel and rock, and I've just been picking up rocks.
Absolutely.
And I'm just going to throw rocks at them.
Okay.
One at a time to get their attention.
Are you going to try and, like, murder them one at a time?
I'm going to try to lure in, like, small numbers of them by just throwing rocks at their heads.
Okay.
So that they're like, I'm figuring they're not too bright. They're going to be like, huh, something hit me. I will go investigate.
Oh,
and then
my God.
Awesome.
Everybody else can stab.
Cool. What action is luring in undead?
Let's see. Shoot, maybe? Shoot a target with precision?
Yeah, maybe. Like, you want to nail
shots.
One in the back of the head? That's
kind of what I'm picturing, is that I'm just, like, plinking their helmet.
Sure.
I'm not going to push myself on this. I'm just going to roll it as is. Oh no!
Okay. Oh no! So,
I threw too many rocks.
Baby, no.
Your intention was very noble, and you nail one right in the back of the head, and I think it knocks something over. Like, I think that's the problem. Is in its confused and sort of like it knocks over a bucket that you didn't even, maybe you saw it there, but you're just like, well, obviously that's going to be fine. But you hit it, it knocks the bucket over, a bunch of other undead look up.
The bucket falls down a flight of stairs.
Right? And they're just all like, okay, that's bad. We can talk about resistances.
Oh, It's so much harder to do, like to choose to do things when I have so much less stress.
Yes.
You know what? I think I'm just going to let it ride, and okay. We're going to... We've got some combat-oriented folks here. It's fine. Let's just see how this goes.
So it's a melee. There's a bunch of undead in the area. They all turn to look. They all move as a pack. And so there's just this... it's like a phalanx of like armored undead that are shuffling as quick as they can, which is not super fast, but fast enough. To come over to you guys. And you're very, very quickly in the thick of things. I'm assuming that you guys are going to draw weapons and just engage them at that point.
Yeah.
So that sounds to me like maybe a group skirmish.
Sure. I can lead.
Yep.
What's the position and effect?
It's risky because people might get hurt. So I think you're technically at limited effect. And the reason for that is that they outnumber you.
Could the heavy use the anchor thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Thing
you could spend a use of anchor. And then basically there's it's standard effect and we just wipe the floor with them.
So what am I doing?
Over next to the harm box.
Yeah.
Just to the right of it, there's a thing that says anchor. You can click one of those uses and then you will fight like you're a small group.
Yeah.
Aw. Good job, rookies.
Yeah.
They're well trained and I trust them.
Right? Has everyone rolled?
Yeah. It looks like Min, I got a 5. I got a 5.
And I think you guys just shine in that moment. Like, there's the heavy is a massive influence on the battle, and the rookies know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. You're all set up in exactly the right spots. And despite the fact that this does not go off the way that you intended, it certainly ends the way you intended. And you just dispatch them all. I think at a certain point you look up and there's like the whole group is looking at each other and there are no more zombies. They're all kind of in parts on the ground. And there's a clear shot to the, what you now recognize as the former guardhouse.
Nice. I'm going to high five the nearest rookie.
Yeah. Who is the rookie that did like the best job?
His name is Gallant Elric Garosi, and you would think it would be, he'd be like a very confident, gallant person, but he's very shy, very few words. But he's good, very good with a weapon sometimes. And he's definitely blushing as Vitaly congratulates him.
Awesome. he probably says something humble, like, I'm just doing what anyone would do. Fantastic. So you guys make it to the guardhouse.
Okay.
You guys were crawling through the catwalks of the guardhouse, looking down upon the commander in a makeshift prison surrounded by undead. So, good times. Let's describe this prison a little bit. So imagine if like the main dining room area of a guardhouse was cleared out and iron bars of some sort had been like bolted together into a giant kind of cage prison thing that's maybe 10, 15 feet on one side, right? So it's a big cube. Inside this cage is the interrogator. The interrogator is this gaunt, tall, angular, pale creature. It moves in unsettling ways, and it has just really long arms, and it has these extremely long fingers on its hands. And it seems like they're burrowing into the commander's head.
Oh!
And this creature is like concentrating and attempting to extract the commander's secrets physically. Your commander is putting up an incredible fight. It's fine.
Oh, yikes!
That's inside the cage. Outside the cage, there is a smattering of Gaunt, who seem like they're waiting around to be ordered. There's the Cinder Guard that you saw earlier. I'm going to have you make a roll real quick. And that seems to be the sum of what's in this, who the people are in this room, if you can call them people.
Okay. Yeah.
I imagine that you guys are like sort of on an upper level, looking down. So like you can imagine that this is a big room with a walkway that goes all around it. This is like a facility walkway that goes to other rooms that looks down into a dining area, which is now a prison. Yeah. So who was it that actually saw? It was the scout, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was the one that saw this Cinder Guard.
Can you give me a gather information roll with scout?
Sure. 5.
Great news. You recognize that the spikes on this suit of armor are not the same spikes on the last suit of armor you saw.
Oh, so there's at least 2 of them.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
How
delightful.
Why?
How wonderful this news is for us. Yeah, so there's 2 of these giant spiky murder
at
things.
At least 2.
At least 2. 2 that I have seen. Cool. Okay,
but
I'm going to relay that to our captain.
Evidently, the Cinder King really wanted this done.
Yeah, apparently. Well, I mean, apparently there's only like 50 of us left, so you get stuff from the commander, and that's going to finish us off. Ah, okay.
It's also possible that this interrogator is just very valuable.
Yeah.
So what do you guys do?
Yeah, Minna, you said you had some idea about a distraction?
Well, I can modify it.
I'm excited.
So I have this ability to use something called channels and acquire an asset in a flashback.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to go ahead and roll that and see how I do.
Cool. What are you trying to acquire?
A Orright clockwork creation.
Okay.
That should be able to be wound up and zoom away to a certain point and then make a lot of noise.
Okay, cool.
I'm going to roll it and see how it goes, I think.
Yeah.
4.
You're going to get it. I think that these are not normally found. This is like a very unusual item.
Yeah.
So I think what we're going to say is this is like damaged or weak or somehow insufficient in some way. And I would say that probably it's just very fragile. So you probably don't want to throw it very hard.
Yeah.
But you could still get one.
So I think actually is that I'm going to take this fragile thing and I'm going to climb down to place it.
Excellent.
Oh, no.
I love every bit of this.
And so I think I only have to get to the base of the wall and set it on the ground and kind of wind it up. But I still have to get to the base of the wall.
Sure. How are you doing that?
I think this is a maneuver.
It sounds like a maneuver to me, yeah.
Do you want an assist?
Yes,
that would be
nice.
Because I've got climbing gear, I'll help you out. So I'll take 1 stress.
You're probably in a controlled position right now. Like, they're not really expecting anyone here.
Darn it!
Okay, so something happens. I think you're climbing down. Are you on a rope or something?
I think that's the assist, is that I have a rope tied from my climbing kit.
Excellent. So I think the thing is, nobody ever looks up, right? And the undead are no exception to this. I think the Cinder Guard goes over to where you were coming down, and it begins to acquire a bunch of materials that the interrogator wants. So there's like chemicals, essentially, and we're going to say that there's like a bench and various things that it's attempting to. And you are hanging from a rope about a foot above it. So
just going to hold still and wait for it to turn around.
Right. Do you want to continue along this road? I think this might be a little riskier than you were expecting it to be.
That's fine with me.
You're like, fine, sure. Let's make a risky maneuver.
Okay.
You look up and you lock eyes with the commander. And I want you to tell me the fondest memory you have of the commander.
Oh.
Wow.
So I think I probably enlisted as whatever the rank below captain is. It looks like maybe major from the book.
Sure.
I think my fondest memory is the day that the commander raised me to captain.
Oh, excellent. Are you still wearing the pin? Like, obviously, I guess you would be.
Yeah. I think it's just the pride, kind of, is what... Because, like, it's hard to earn their respect, you know?
They're a bit stern.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's that moment of like they lock eyes to you, and it's almost as if you could see the conflict in their eyes of like they're going through hell right now. But then they see you and you see that flash of pride as they look at you. Now you can make your roll.
I think Vitaly does as much of a salute as she can manage from this position. Okay. Devil's bargain. What does a devil's bargain look like?
So the thing you're attempting to do is to throw this thing and then have it cause a distraction and then basically lead them away, right?
Can I make a suggestion?
What's that?
So I think that the rope we've got, the reason that we're having trouble here is that there's not quite enough to reach all the way down the wall.
Okay, that's
fantastic. So no matter what happens, I'm going to have to get on the ground. And no matter what happens, I'm going to find a way to get back up to the rope.
Got it. I love it. I love that to pieces. Okay, so you just don't have enough rope.
Minna is very good at asking for consequences and then proposing her own terrible consequences.
It's great.
That's way better than anything I would have come up with. That's great. Cool. All right, so let's have that be the case. So you're going to get an extra die from not enough rope.
Come on, die spot.
Oh, excellent. Okay, well, you do it. There's a consequence. I'm going to say the alert level goes up.
Okay.
That is very reasonable, I think. You're setting off a very annoying thing.
Can I describe how this happens?
Absolutely.
So I think, she does get to the ground, and she's kind of crouched in the shadows. And what she has, we're just going to, have a moment on top of the wall before she went down, and she says, "Sometimes you have to resort to childish tricks." And so now she pulls something out of her sleeve. It almost looks like a mechanical mouse. And you see her wind it up and place it on the ground. And it goes kind of skittering along the ground for about 50 feet. And then there's just this ungodly mechanical noise, screeches and beeps and as much horrible noise as a clockwork mouse can make.
I love the idea that this is something that Aurite parents, or maybe even Aurite grandparents, give to their Aurite's grandchildren. Yeah.
The parents, through gritted teeth, "Thank you, Mom, for this gift that I'm definitely going to smash with a hammer when you leave."
Thank you, lady whatever, because she's going to be noble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to add two ticks to the alert clock. That is not going to fill it. It does have exactly one segment left. So you managed to distract them. I can't do anything about the fact that when this thing finds and subsequently destroys the annoying toy, that it's going to come right back here. So you really don't have a lot of time. But you do manage to get the Cinder Guard's attention, and it storms off. What do you guys do in that moment?
So it pulled off the Cinder Guard. Did it take any of the gaunt with it, or did we just get rid of the Cinder Guard?
I think it's possible. Okay. Let's say that's going to be a fortune roll. I think it's a couple dice. Let's say it left a couple of gaunt.
Okay. The interrogator, I'm assuming, is some kind of undead.
Yes, absolutely.
I've got black arrows.
Okay.
I don't want to shoot him with the black arrows while he's got his fingers in the commander's head. I feel like that's going to be bad for the commander. But if we can pull him away enough and I can make that shot, I could fry him in one.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm thinking maybe if Arun and the rookies go down to deal with the gaunt and break down the cage.
I could draw off the interrogator.
Yeah, if I can just sort of, I didn't pick the sniper playbook, but I'm basically playing one on TV. try and take that shot to hit the interrogator with one of these black arrows.
Your mission is, of course, twofold. One, bring the commander back, or make sure that the enemy secrets, or your secrets don't fall into enemy hands.
Yeah.
Worst comes to worst.
Yeah. I'd rather not kill the commander.
Yeah, no, that's definitely.
I'll do it if I have to, but I don't have to yet. Does that sound like a good plan to everybody? If we can just,
yeah. Honestly, it works for me.
Okay, so I'm gonna stay up on the second floor, but I think that our squad and Heavy gotta jump down, and because we have to do this fast, we need to get back out before any of the however many Cinder Guards are around get in.
Awesome. you set up into a sort of sniping perch, knocking an arrow and training it on the undead interrogator. Does the rest of the squad come down as well?
I mean, I think that's up to either the captain or Arun.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't the plan that I was going down with the guys?
Yeah, that sounds good.
With the fam?
You and the squad come down and descend upon the gaunt. That's going to cause the interrogator to look up. If you have something where you want to, like, convince the interrogator to come away, like, as a distraction thing first, then we can do that.
I say just kill a bunch of undead.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, it sounds to me like you're doing a skirmish?
I would think so, yeah.
Because you're leveraging the rookies, right? It's going to be a group skirmish where you have equal scale. And I think you're going to just be in a risky position because they might get hurt or killed. And we're going to take out a bunch of undead.
Yep.
Standard.
Nice. Awesome.
I rolled a 6.
Like a boss. Would you like to describe how this awesome fight scene comes out?
I am just plowing through these motherfuckers.
Mighty indeed.
Yeah. I imagine, I'm dummy thick.
I imagine you like check one of the gaunt across the room and then bisect another. And then the rookies like come out like a swarm and take out the rest of the undead.
Yep.
Are they only using blades? I think that is the real question here.
I think we would probably tell them to only use blades.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want to draw more attention than we need to.
Yeah, maybe there's like a cinematic like thing where a rookie draws a pistol, but you put your hand over it and then like you go back to
bullets at your guns. Put the bullets at your guns.
Yes.
you just absolutely wreck the room, and then the interrogator is looking up at this, and then it curls up around the commander.
Ah, that's the opposite of what I wanted.
Oh no.
And is essentially, and puts, like, takes one hand out of, like, the burrowing and around the neck. And you can tell that it's basically, like, you cannot, if you shoot me, I will kill this guy. Like, there's clearly a almost like a detente.
We are at an impasse.
Well, it depends on how well you shoot, I think, is the real answer to that.
I was going to say, can you, Mitali, since you're down there, do you think you can do anything?
So, a little background for me. What's the leadership like in our army? Obviously, the commander's in charge. Are there any other high-profile people?
Yeah, there's the quartermaster. There's the marshal.
What does the marshal do?
He sends people to die.
The marshal picked you for this mission. Yeah. Is there something you know that I would love to hear?
Okay, so I think Mitali steps forward. You and I both know that the commander's tough nut to crack. Wouldn't you like to try your hand at an easier nut? Perhaps the marshal of the army?
Ooh, very interesting. Okay.
You're just trying to bluff into...
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god.
I think there's a moment where it like looks at you and is confused and it's like, I don't know if I'm being sold a bill of goods here. Like, what is this? Okay, so I think you have a chance to maybe confuse and or delay whatever is going on.
I would like to sway.
Yeah, that sounds like what you're doing, right?
And I would like to push myself.
That sounds like a good choice.
Okay, and what is my position effect? Is it desperate?
That's interesting. I think that your position here is tenuous at best. I feel like it's desperate. You're like, I want to offer myself up in trade. And the creature is like, maybe I could just wait for the Cinder Guard and I get you both. So I think it's desperate. You're basically trying to... Let's talk about what your effect level is, though. Are you just trying to let them... Like, tell them, let the commander go and I'll come to you? Like, what's the...
I'm literally trying to get them to step towards me.
Just to step a little
closer.
Yeah,
just to step towards me. Like, I don't even need it to be, like a thing that they, like, fully believe forever. Just, like, enough to get... a little bit of distance from the commander.
I think you have enough effect for that. Yeah, for sure. But I do think it's desperate because it doesn't really trust you.
So desperate standard.
Yeah, I think it's desperate standard is what we're talking.
And I have one
bonus
die.
Can I aid?
Yes, absolutely you can aid.
Please. Just shout out, Marshall!
Yeah, it's Marshall, no!
Fantastic.
Yeah, I'll take that one point of stress, because I really want this to work.
Five.
Wow.
Well, the good news is you do it.
Uh-huh.
The bad news is there is a severe consequence. I think you're just a little closer than you intended to be, and it reaches out with its impossible, like, long hands, mm-hmm. and it manages to get its, like, fingers onto your skull.
Yes!
Oh, no! Yes! Minute, so there's no! This,
it stretches out, and that's why it stepped away from the commander for a bit, because it still has, like, a finger or two in the commander's skull. And then it has a finger or two in your skull, and is trying to, like, grab you both.
This is the worst! This is not what I wanted!
It's the opposite of what we wanted.
Yeah!
Sorry.
It's okay.
Well, the good news is you have an entirely clean shot on it. Like,
yeah, I gotta take it.
But before that happens, I should also do the other stuff. So you're gonna take some corruption here. I think that when an undead creature jams its bony hand into your head, starts raiding your thoughts, probably corrupts you.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's, and it's desperate. So I think it's 3 corruption.
Nice.
You're like, yeah, that's fine. That's great.
It's a one shot.
So I think there's that. And then, of course, the consequence of, like, now it's got its hands inside your head.
So what happens when this thing sticks its hand into my skull?
I think there's a lot of cool things that happen. There's two things really important. One is, I'm going to say that you forget something. You can tell me what it is that you forget. And I think that something else is, you remember chunks of the commander's life.
Oh!
Because, like, it doesn't really... It's never done this before. So I think it's become a conduit of memories.
I think what happens is that it plays through a few things related to the commander's time as a soldier, including, like, losing someone very important to them. And
nice.
I think at some point it, like, stops on one of the commander's promotions.
Oh, and nice.
And I forget that moment with the commander when I was promoted to captain.
Oh, I love it. I love it so good.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
I'm going to take my shot.
Before you take your shot.
Yeah.
I want to hear a story about you and the commander. Like, tell me why the commander is important to you personally.
I think that I'm, you know, of the Zemyati, but I grew up with them, but I didn't stay there. I didn't fit in well, and that's how I ended up as a, quote, retrieval specialist.
Nice.
In one of the cities. And I think that I ended up in the army as kind of a, like, you can go to jail or you can do a term of service. So I came in with a kind of a bad reputation. And I think that the commander was one of the first people, like, in command who trusted me.
Nice.
They started giving me, like, you know, solo missions without someone watching me. They were not, like, I think that, you know, a lot of, like, my initial commanding officers would, like, frisk me to make sure I hadn't, like, lifted stuff. And I think, like, they put a stop to that. I think that they, once they saw that I had proved myself to be a good soldier, that was all that they needed.
Nice. Cool.
I've made myself sad.
There you go. Take a shot.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So I am going to push myself, which leaves me with one dot of stress left. Unless. Is there a way that I could get an aid from Arun?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Okay. So that's going to give me, if this is shoot, that's going to give me 3. Position and effect.
Feels risky to me. Where the risk is probably some sort of backlash on your friends.
Yep.
And I feel like you have, I mean, you have black shot arrows, right? You have black arrows. So I feel like you have greater effect. Like one arrow is enough to, if you can just land the arrow.
Yeah. And then I get 2 extra dice. Yeah. I'm so nervous right now.
Right?
Oh!
Critical!
Oh, dang.
Oh!
Yes!
Oh, the dice could not have done better for me in that moment. Amazing.
I'm thrilled. You
That's awesome.
Yeah. You plug it, like, straight into the center of mass, and then there's this eruption of green fire, and it releases both of them, and then grabs its chest, and then falls back and bursts into green fire. Wow, I feel like that's, you just do it. Like, you do it with greater effect, but like, you just get it done. I think it probably burns faster than you expected. Like, it burns like to ash in a moment. That's when you hear the thundering of the Cinder Guard in the background. So what do you guys do in that moment?
Well,
I think the rookies are probably scrambling and then barring the door.
We need to get the commander out of the cage.
Sure.
I'm probably the only one who can carry him, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, Arun, can you carry him?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we got it. I mean, I imagine that the cage locked?
Well, you have a wrecking kit and you have,
okay,
you know, Arun. So, like, you just smash the lock and it's good.
Arun smash.
Right.
Yay.
And then, the commander is, like, barely conscious, maybe drooling a little bit and just, like, really out of it. But you're able to, like, I guess, like, fireman carry or something. So, yeah, cool. So you all, what do you do?
What exits are available to us?
Well, okay, so here's the problem, right? You don't actually have enough rope.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
But I think we can get up to that gallery because didn't Arun come down? There's stairs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are totally stairs. But, I mean, there is that big door where you would go through to get out to the stairs.
Oh, okay.
So there might be, like, other passageways, like, through the kitchens or something. Like, maybe you could just keep going somewhere, try and meet up.
I feel like we try and get out the other side, like, outside the walls. Like, clearly, at one point, there were doors that way because there's a road that comes through.
There is a road that comes through there.
Yeah.
So you want to try and exit through there. All right. Well, I'm going to make a couple of rolls. I want to see how the main gate is doing. The alert clock isn't going to go anywhere. The commander's clock is halted. And then I think we're just going to see how Zora is doing. Oh, she only has a little bit more in her. So you guys are going to bolt through the kitchens and the back passages and try and get to the rear exit of the guardhouse. There are undead all along the way. I'm assuming that there is going to be some place that you can, like, link up so the scout can rejoin the group. That's not a problem.
Yeah, I would like to, though, if I can, since I'm still kind of up and have more of a vantage point. If I can get somewhere to, like, I want to know what's going to be on the other side of the door that we're going to come crashing through out onto this road. I want to know what we're going to be dealing with. So if I can find, a window or a ledge overlooking.
Give me a roll.
Okay. Is this going to be a gather info or a regular roll?
I think
or?
This is a controlled scout.
Okay. 6?
Excellent. Yes, Woo! Absolutely. Just like you expected, the other Cinder Guard is at the front.
Okay.
One here.
That's okay.
So good job. Before things got exciting, you managed to identify that there was going to be this problem.
Okay. So I'm going to see that, and then I'm going to, like, sprint down to where the rest of the group is. I think we designated, like, I imagine one of you shouted up, like, meet us in the kitchen.
Right.
And so we all, I like, come skidding into the room. It's like, okay, we have a problem. Cinder Guard on both doors, either way out from this level.
Ugh. Okay.
So during this conversation, there's, like, a big giant thudding as the other Cinder Guard is beating on that door.
Either we try to sprint past one and get out to the road and hope we can make a run for it, or try to find a way back up to the roofs and the walls.
So getting back out to the roof, that would involve having to get up to the second story. That gets us... We still have to go past a Cinder Guard for that, right?
No, I think you can avoid the Cinder Guard. You're able to get basically out back onto the wall if you go back the way you came. So maybe a little bit of a detour, because you'll still have to go all the way along the wall and then figure out a way to get back into the sewer tunnels and out that way.
Or, you know, try and figure out a way to get down from the wall to somewhere
you could
on
do
the
that.
Side.
That'd be very exciting.
I like that. Just putting some distance between us and the Cinder Guards. Yeah.
All right. So you retreat back the way you came, and you're back out on the, I guess they would, are they parapets? I feel like they are.
Yeah, I think that's the word.
Yes. Out onto the parapets. It looks like things have calmed down in the courtyard as you emerge with, like, Commander over your shoulders. Things have calmed down quite a bit in the courtyard, and it looks like they've set up a crisp defense where the knights are calling out and they're setting up volleys, and it looks like they almost have all of the stuff here in order to repel this attack.
Yikes. Yeah, so we need to get the heck out.
What's the plan?
Oh, man.
Do you want to dive over the wall and hope? Like,
there's a river down there.
I mean, and I do still have my climbing gear.
Yeah.
It's true.
We've established it's not enough rope to necessarily bridge the gap, but we can get down further and then try and jump into the river.
Hmm. I'm wondering, okay. How do flashbacks work basically the same as totally. Blades? What would it cost for a flashback with some other squad? We arranged a, like, okay, like, you know, we're going to come, an exit point where they would be there with, like, I don't know, more rope or a net or something where they can help us get down.
I mean, are you looking to eliminate the fact that you have to roll, or are you looking to just reduce the...
Reduce the consequences.
I think that's a one stress flashback. Like, you're basically saying maybe they could have thrown up some grappling hooks and then hightailed it out before they got caught.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll take that one stress. I have one stress box left.
Good luck.
But, yeah. You know what? I had my moment of glory. I'm good.
Awesome. So, yeah, the squad all assembles. You were out on the parapet. There's a bunch of grappling hooks that are, you know, dug into the wall, and it looks like you have a shot down to the river. You just have to get down there.
So group maneuver, I guess?
Uh-huh.
I think this does feel like it could be risky, because you are carrying somebody, and, like, that's a thing. There's also a bunch of rookies, and you're trying to get out quick.
Yeah. Who's leading?
I can lead.
Oh, yeah, because you'll only take one. All right, four. Four. What did,
I have not rolled yet.
All right.
Let's just go for it.
Okay. There you go.
Hey! A six, heck yeah.
That is fantastic. Okay. It was grim there for a second, but I think there's probably a moment when Emerald rushing is like not properly clipped in and it loses their footing. And maybe you manage to grab them and like keep them from falling.
I think that I'm the last one down because I stay up on the wall with my flare gun and I fire like two flares up, and that's the signal to Zora that, like, we're out, go!
Peace, deuces.
But that's also like, you know, I think I fire that, I jump over the wall, and there's like a volley of arrows where I was standing.
Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. And I think that's the end of the mission. Like, I don't see anything else. You guys get down to the river, manage to swim across, get out of Dodge, manage to recover the commander and get away.
Is there a place?
Oh, and we didn't lose any of our red shirts.
We did it.
I'm so proud.
Yes.
So there's a little bit of bookkeeping that we do between here and the downtime scenes. And then we do some downtime scenes. And then we're done with the session.
Cool.
So the next bit, because this is the first session, the next bit would be to go ahead and make the command staff, the roles, as they're called. They are under the characters, the commander, the marshal, and the quartermaster. Each of you would play one of these. We don't need to go through too much of actually doing the setups, because we're not going to push forward past this point. Cool. So now you're at the Western Front. And then we can have back-at-camp scenes. Potentially I can set a back-at-camp scene, but you had in mind something that you wanted to see, and I kind of want to just go do that. So what was the scene that you wanted to do?
What's the back-at-camp scene supposed to be?
Oh, so there's a list of back-at-camp scenes that you can choose from. Essentially, the list is based on your morale. So what you do is you look at your morale and you decide, okay, well, we're in good morale because we're at 9. And so we're going to choose one of the scenes that looks fun.
I feel like a squad talking about home and asking the captain about theirs could be an interesting one with the commander.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
So we find out how much he lost.
Yeah.
So who do you want to play in that scene? Because one of you is, I'm assuming someone should play the commander.
Yeah. Since I think I lay dibs on the commander role, I can play them. Zaya is off drinking and telling stories of her incredible shot.
Bragging.
Is she mildly mocking the snipers? Maybe. Is there going to be a drunken shoot-off later? Who's to say?
Does one of them tell her to watch her back when they're in their sniping position next time? A little bit.
Awesome.
Oh, I gotta come up with a name for the commander real quick.
Let me look at the list of names. I think it's Commander Khatri.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful.
Commander is not addressed by their first name.
Very cool.
And they're from the same heritage as me. They're also Barton.
Yeah, I picked Barton for their heritage. Reputation is unstoppable. Personality, I went with stoic and calculating. Their look is athletic and currently very haggard.
Nice.
Aw, buddy.
They're not having the best time. It's been a bad day.
It's been a bad few weeks, actually.
Yeah. So where do we think this scene takes place?
I feel like it's in the commander's tent.
Have you invited them to, like, say thank you?
I think so. I think we've kind of established this commander is kind of, like, stern and stoic, but we'll give, like, praise and acknowledgement when it's been earned.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think that when the two of you get there, that, like, there is a medic who's, like, fussing over them. And, like, the medic will head out when the two of you come in. Captain Dua, Arani, where's Alekhovna?
As far as I know, she's off getting drunk and mocking the snipers.
Oh, I suppose she's earned that.
I would say she has.
Both, all of you, the rest of the squad as well, have very much earned my thanks. Don't know how much longer I would have been able to hold out against that thing.
I don't know how long we would hold out without you to command us.
Well, we may need to have that conversation. There's not a lot of us left, and if the army falls apart on one person, not much of an army.
But we didn't fall apart. We found you, we came for you, we devised a plan. We can function without you, we just don't want to.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm imagining that they're, like, in bed, but, like, propped up. And just kind of, like, leans their head back.
I am squeeing so hard because this is, like, really cool. I want to know, do either Mitali or the commander say anything about the memories?
I feel like this is how this comes up.
Yeah.
Commander, I feel that I have to lay this on the table. I saw a few things that I don't think you would have liked me to see.
Well, I think that went both ways.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yes.
Can I ask? Nothing too embarrassing. There are things one doesn't want one's commander to see if one wants to earn their respect.
Gosh, I'm trying to think. What memories do you think the commander got of yours?
Does it matter? No. You should say no.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's true.
But I love the idea that you might be lying.
I think that there's a moment of hesitation. Just maybe Mitali picks up on it. Maybe she doesn't. But the commander's like, no, nothing too terrible, and all secrets are safe with me. Don't worry about it.
That's good to hear.
How are you holding up, Arun?
Honestly, I'm fine.
Well, you and the squad did some work through those gaunts. You got the makings of an officer yourself. May put you in charge of a squad next time we send you out.
I might want to reconsider until I get a bit more field experience, with all due respect, sir, but I appreciate the compliment.
Well, was there anything else we wanted to cover in this? Because I feel like the commander's like, thank you. Yep. Please leave so I can sleep. Oh god, my head.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, his head got poked.
Yeah. I imagine this has got to be the worst migraine imaginable.
Yeah.
So I think the commander, like, nods to each of you. He's like, oh, thank you again, and I'll send for Zaya in the morning, bright and early.
Good to see you didn't lose your sense of humor, sir.
Managed not to take that. And I think kind of gives you the nod of dismissed.
She salutes.
That's fantastic. That's basically the game. There'd be some downtime actions that happen. downtime actions happen for the Legion as a whole. So you don't get individual downtime actions. The Legion as a whole, particularly the quartermaster, is the one who decides which downtime actions to pursue.
Oh.
Yeah. So those are the things that's essentially the response. Like each of these things is like slightly a different responsibility. So you would decide, like, do we recover? Do we, like, provide rest and recuperation for people if they're injured? Or do we give them liberties to blow off some steam? Do we start some long-term projects? What do we do, like, as a Legion? And then the commander decides what kinds of missions that they want to pursue inside the theater that they're operating in. So you would say Western Front has both assault and recon missions available. You would say, I'd really prefer to get assaults, or I'd prefer to get recons. And then I would roll some missions, generate those, and then you're going to get a set of missions, which is probably like 2 to 3. Yeah, in that case, like if you roll 3, you can only do 2 missions because you just don't have the staff. The third mission, you fail automatically, and that's a bummer, but it's also like just the reality of the situation you're in.
Yeah.
And that's basically, and then the marshal decides, once you have the set of missions, and the commander has selected which mission will be primary mission, that's the one you play through, and secondary mission, that's one you resolve the fortune roll, the marshal decides who goes on those missions. So they staff those missions with specialists and the appropriate squad. So any given session, you may or may not be playing the specialist that you generated at the beginning, and you may be playing a specialist that was played by someone else before.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool. But all right. Well, that was really fun. Thank you so much for running this for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm a little bummed that this isn't going to be kind of more into a campaign because all of that you described about how the downtime works and the campaign maneuvers is a very cool element to this. But this was a very fun one shot. Thank you so much for running this for us.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. The Magpies will return in 2 weeks. The Magpies podcast is produced by Rhee, who played Zaya Alekhovna. Follow me on Twitter at Rhiannon42, and visit rpgskillcheck.net for copy editing and accessibility consulting for tabletop games. Mitali Dewa was played by Minna. Follow her on Twitter at MinaMinar. Arun Arani was played by Kim Kogut. Follow her on Twitter at Kim Deanna Jones. This Band of Blades one-shot was GM'd by John LaBeouf Little. Follow him on Twitter at WorldNamer. The opening and closing theme music is from Trio for Piano, Violin, and Viola by Kevin MacLeod and is used under a Creative Commons license. Band of Blades was written by Strash Achimovic and John LaBeouf Little and is published by Evil Hat Productions.